American seated jests of George Peel, gentleman, sometimes a student in Oxford. Wherein is showed the course of his life, how he lived, a man very well known in the City of London, and elsewhere. How George Peel became a physician. George, on a time being happily furnished both of horse and money, though the horse he hired and the money he borrowed, but no matter how, he was possessed of them. And towards Oxford he rides, to make merry with his friends and fellow students. And in his way he took up Wickham, where he sojourned that night. Being at supper, accompanied with his hostess, among other table talk, they fell into discourse of chirurgery, of which my hostess was a simple professor. George Peel, observing the humour of my she-churgeon, upheld her in all, the strange cures she talked of, and pressed her womanly endeavour, telling her he loved her so much the better, because it was a thing that he professed, both physic and chirurgery. And George had a dictionary of physical words, that it might set a better gloss on that which he seemingly professed, and told his good hostess, at his return, he would teach her something that should do her no hurt. "For," quoth he, "at this instant I am going about a great cure as far as Warwickshire, to a gentleman of great living, and one that hath been in a consumption this half year, and I hope to do him good." "Oh, God," quoth the hostess, "there is a gentleman not quarter of a mile off that hath been a long time sick of the same disease." "Believe me, sir," quoth the hostess, "would it please your worship ere you depart in the morning but to visit the gentleman, and but spend your opinion of him, I will make no question but the gentlewoman will be very thankful to you."
"In faith," quoth George, "haply, at my return I may. But at this time my haste is such that I cannot. And so good night, mine hostess."
So away went George to bed, and my giddy hostess, right of the nature of most women, thought that night as long as 10, till she was delivered of that burthen of news which she had received from my new doctor, for so he termed himself. Morning being come, at break of the day, mine hostess trudges to this gentleman's house, acquainteth his wife with what an excellent man she had at her house, protesting he was the best seen in physic, and had done the most strangest cures that ever she heard of, saying that, if she would but send for him, no question he would do him good. The gentlewoman, glad to hear of anything that might procure the health of her husband, presently sent one of her men to desire the doctor to come and visit her husband. Which message, when George heard, he wondered, for he had no more skill in physic than in music, and they were as distant both from him as heaven from hell. But to conclude, George set a bold face on it, and away went he to the sick gentleman, where, when he came, after some compliment to the gentlewoman, he was brought to the chamber where the ancient gentleman lay, wonderful sick, for all physic had given him over. George begins to feel his pulses and his temples, saying he was very far spent. "Yet," quoth he, "under God I will do him some good, if nature be not quite extinct." Whereupon he demanded, "Whether they had ever a garden?" "That I have," quoth the gentlewoman.
"I pray you, direct me thither," quoth George.
Where, when he came, he cut a handful of every flower, herb, and blossom, or whatsoever else in the garden, and brought them in the lappis of his cloak, boiled them in ale, strained them, boiled them again, and when he had all the juice out of them, of which he made some pottle of drink, he caused the sick gentleman to drink off a maudlin cupful, and willed his wife to give him of that same at morning, noon, and night, protesting if anything in this world did him good, it must be that. giving great charge to the gentlewoman to keep him wonderful warm.
And at my return, quoth George, some 10 days hence, I will return and see how he fares.
For, quoth he, by that time something will be done,
and so I will take my leave.
Not so, quoth the gentlewoman. Your worship must needs stay and take a simple dinner with me today.
Indeed, quoth George, I cannot now stay, my haste is such. I must present to horse.
You may suppose George was in haste until he was out of the gentleman's house, for he knew not whether he had poisoned the gentleman or not, which made him so eager to be gone out of the gentleman's house. The gentlewoman, seeing she could by no means stay him, gave him 2 brace of angels, which never shined long in his purse, and desired him at his return to know her house, which George promised, and with seeming niceness took the gold, and towards Oxford went he, 40 shillings heavier than he was, where he bravely domineered, while his physical money lasted. But to see the strangeness of this, whether it was the virtue of some herb which he gathered, or the conceit the gentleman had of George Peel, but it so pleased God, the gentleman recovered, and in 8 days walked abroad, and that fortunate potion, which George made at random, did him more good than many pounds that he had spent in 30 years before in physic. George, his money being spent, he made his return towards London. And when he came within a mile of the gentleman's house, he inquired of a country fellow how such a gentleman did. The fellow told him,
God be praised, his good landlord was well recovered by a virtuous gentleman that came this way by chance.
Art thou sure of it? Quoth George.
Yes, believe me, quoth the fellow. I saw him in the fields but this morning.
This was no simple news to George. He presently set spurs to his horse, and whereas he thought to shun the town, he went directly to his inn, at whose arrival the hostess clapped her hands. The ostler laughed, the tapster leapt, the chamberlain ran to the gentleman's house, and told him the doctor was come. How joyful the gentleman was, let them imagine that have any after healths. George Peel was sent for, and after 1,000,000 of thanks from the gentleman and his friends, George Peel had £20 delivered him. Which money, how long it was a spending, let the taverns in London witness.
Merry Conceited Jests of George Peel was narrated by Sarah Blake, with music by Tom Cowell. It was produced by Sounds Curious for Beyond Shakespeare.